listen to the words of this song, it gives you something to really think about. The name of it's Have You Really Been a Friend to Him?
Amen. There you go.
Amen.
Yeah. That's good.
Sunday night, and
man, brother.
Boy, we just have a wonderful, wonderful crowd, and you know, I'm just like Brother Rick. I really appreciate everybody making the time and coming out.
Amen.
Church, hear the word of God. We need it.
Amen.
Amen.
I mean, we need it
yes.
bad.
Yes.
And it's just good to be here tonight. It's just good to be in the house of the Lord. Just to come out and be with brothers and sisters and fellowship with one another. Just a good place to be.
That's right, brother.
Well, tonight, if you would, turn with me to Mark chapter 2. Mark chapter 2. Very familiar verses tonight that we're going to read. I've not decided yet whether or not that it was a good idea last Sunday to say what I would preach this Sunday or not. I'm still debating on that. Because sometimes the Lord will give us a thought, and we may dwell on it a few days and stuff, and then the Lord may change our mind and things like that and such. But just this phrase, easier said than done, just kind of stuck with me. Just kind of been with me all week long and stuff. And so we'll try to preach a message tonight, and I just hope that be a help to someone tonight.
Amen.
So let's read here. We'll read verse 9 together when we get there. So Mark chapter 2, starting reading at verse 1. And again he entered into Capernaum after some days, and it was noise that he was in the house. And straightway many were gathered together, insomuch that there was no room to receive them, no, not so much as about the door. And he preached the word unto them. And they come unto him, bringing one sick of the palsy, which was born of four. And when they could not come nigh unto him for the press, they uncovered the roof where he was. And when they had broken it up, they let down the bed wherein the sick of the palsy lay. When Jesus saw their faith, he said unto the sick of the palsy, Son, thy sins be forgiven thee. But there were certain of the scribes sitting there and reasoning in their hearts, Why does this man thus speak blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but God only? And immediately when Jesus perceived in his spirit that they so reasoned within themselves, he said unto them, Why reason ye these things in your hearts? Let's read verse 9 together. Whether is it easier to say to the sick of the palsy, Thy sins be forgiven thee, or to say, Arise, and take up thy bed, and walk? But that you may know that the Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive sins, he saith to the sick of the palsy, I say unto thee, Arise, and take up thy bed, and go thy way into thine house. And immediately he arose, took up the bed, and went forth before them all, insomuch that they were all amazed and glorified God, saying, We never saw it on this fashion.
Amen.
Father, thank you so much, Lord, for this opportunity to stand and preach tonight.
Bless.
But Father, I am so unworthy tonight, Lord,
Bless
and I know
Lord.
That, God.
Bless.
And Lord, I just pray that you please help me tonight, Lord. Just make me an empty vessel, I pray. Fill me up with your spirit tonight, Lord, that I might be able to preach that would be pleasing unto you and that would be a help to this people tonight, Lord. Father, we thank you for everything, and we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Be seated tonight. Now, before I bring the message tonight, just along the ways into this, when I use the phrase easier said than done, let it be known by just right off the bat here that I'm not referring to the Lord. I know the Lord said, now is it easier to say this or heal this man, but nothing is impossible with the Lord tonight. So whenever I say and use the phrase easier said than done, it applies to you and I. Tonight. That's where it applies. And this phrase is something that we've either everyone has heard, or maybe you've said it at one point in your life. I know at work sometimes, we'll be asked to do something and something equivalent to put a square peg in a round hole or something. And we'll say, well, that's easier said than done. There's some things that's just complicated, it's just difficult to do. And I just love it how that management and people, high up and stuff, they'll ask us to do things and say, oh, that's That's easy. And you're kind of thinking, well, you're not the one having to do it. So it is kind of easy for you. But then we have some young people here and stuff. And as parents, we may say, well, you'd be really good if you'd make an A on this test you have tomorrow. And I'm sure that all the kids in here are thinking, yeah, that's easier said than done. Why don't you take this math test or this calculus test and see how well you fare on it? We'd like to make A's, but we'll see how we do. But it's a phrase that we use all the time, and we've heard people say it all the time. And I got to thinking about that. Got to thinking about easier said than done, and about how it applies to our Christian life. And I tell you, I really couldn't think of one single facet of our lives where, when you really think about it, it really is easier said than done. I mean, there's all sorts of areas in our life that are difficult, that are hard. They're hard to do. So tonight, I'm going to stick with the scripture here tonight, and I'm going to bring out just four things tonight. I think four areas in our Christian life that are things that we need to do. There are things that we need to try to do. There are things that we are told to do, but they're easier said than done.
Listen, Lord.
You know, it's easy to say things, but it's yet another thing to do them. So let's just look at the scripture here and look at these verses. And I'm not really going to hit them in any particular order. Just as they come in the scripture, that's what we're going to stick to and do that. So the Bible says, and again, he entered into Capernaum, and after some days it was noise that he was in the house. Now, I like it when the Lord's in the house. If he's in the house, if the Lord's in the house, something's going to happen. Something good will come out of the Lord being in the house. They see many churches today that the Lord couldn't even find them. I mean they don't even want him there. They don't invite him there. They hope he don't show up. And listen, if a church hopes the Lord don't show up, guess what? He's probably not going to show up. The Lord says, you know, the Lord's a gentleman. He'll knock and say, if you invite me in, I'll come in. But the church will say, hey, no thanks. Listen, we got our programs. Listen, we know what songs we're going to sing. We know when we're going to shout, which it probably won't if the Lord's not there. But we got our little program of events here. And Lord, we don't want you messing things up or anything. And so you just stay out there, and we know how to do things. But I'm glad when the Lord's in the house, when the Lord's there. You can tell when the Lord's there.
Right. Amen,
you know it when the Lord shows up and when the Lord is there, and I like that. The Bible says, and straightway many were gathered together insomuch that there was no room to receive them. Well, wouldn't that be a good problem to have? Wouldn't it be good tonight if we'd come to church and we had to struggle to find a parking place? And then you come in the door and you'd have to say, look around and try to find a place to sit. But the world that we live in now, they can do without Jesus. They can do without the Lord. They don't bother coming to his house. But I'm thankful tonight that you're here tonight. That we're here in his house tonight. It says not so much as about the door. I mean, we're talking, it wasn't even standing room only. I mean, you couldn't even fit in there. There were so many people there.
Right.
It was a good sight to see. Now, I want to remind you tonight, before I go any further, we're not reading a parable here. This is Jesus went to Capernaum, a real place.
Yeah.
Jesus went to this place here that says it was in the house here that they met. It was a real place. It was real people, not a parable. So this really did happen. And so the Bible says, and they came unto him, bringing one sick of the palsy. Listen, you know the best place to take somebody that's sick to the Lord?
Right.
Take them to the Lord. This man, he was physically sick. Now we need to take them to the Lord. We need to pray for them and say, I'm praying for you and I hope you get better and stuff. But listen, when they got that spiritual sickness, you don't need to take them anywhere else but to the Lord.
Amen.
That's where they need to go. We need to care enough about them to take them to the Lord.
Amen.
So tonight we see here it says, and they came unto him bringing one sick of the palsy, which was born afore. Now the first point that I want to make tonight with respect to something that's easier said than done is being a true friend. A true
friend. Now, I'm not talking about the friends like Job had. I'm not talking about friends so whenever you have trouble. Troubles come in your life and stuff, and these friends show up, and they tell you about how bad you are and about what you've done, and you feel worse when they got there than when they left. So we don't need friends like that. I'm not talking about those friends. And I'm not talking tonight about the friends that the prodigal son had. You remember the prodigal son, when he left and he had his pockets full of money, and he left the father's house and he went out to the far country, he had some friends. He had some friends because he had some money. And they had some fun. But when the funds ran out and the fun was over, then the friends left. Now, I'm not talking about those friends tonight. See, those aren't true friends. Those are fair weather friends. And listen, you and I, we've got some fair weather friends. And whenever you and I, we have trouble in our lives and we have things like that, and we've got, so we need to try to depend upon some of these fair weather friends, Brother Jack. They'll be gone.
Amen.
They'll be gone. Now, when times get better and stuff, you know, they'll come wandering back in and stuff, you know, but they're just fair weather.
Amen.
Now, I'm not talking about those type of friends tonight. And I'm also not talking about Facebook friends that you got 10,000 of tonight. You know, I'm not, you know, when you get on there, you know, can I be your friend? Can I be your friend? You got friends probably on Facebook that don't even know who you are. But, I mean, there's lots of people, Brother Eddie, that say, I'll be their friend, you know. I'll click that button and be their friend, you know. And I'll be somebody else's friend and stuff. We use the word friend so much that it don't even mean what it's supposed to. The word friend has no weight or no value anymore to most people.
Right,
amen. To most people.
Right.
To us, you know, a friend is somebody that may not even know who they are, but they show up as a number on my screen. I got 30,000 friends, you know. I got 10,000 likes from somebody, you know. They must be my friend. But those aren't the friends I'm talking about.
Amen.
I'm talking about a true friend.
Amen.
And I know here in this verse, it only says which was born before. I know that. And I know that it doesn't use the word friend. But I'd be hard-pressed tonight to believe that these were not his friends.
Right.
Yes. Amen.
I believe these were people that had been worried and concerned about their friend because they were sick. You know, a true friend has concern and compassion for their friends.
Amen. Amen.
And that doesn't just come, you know, that doesn't just come from everybody. But there's people who are truly concerned. Whenever you're truly concerned about the welfare of someone, then that's being a true friend.
Amen.
It's being a true friend whenever you have compassion and you really care about somebody.
Amen.
You know, you and I, we'd do a whole lot more witnessing if we just get our heart in there. If we just get more love and more compassion about those that are lost and those are dying and going to hell, if we just had more heart and more love for them, more compassion for them, then we bring them to Jesus. I believe these four, I believe that they knew the condition that their friend was in. I believe that they knew what condition he had, well, you know, palsy and stuff. And I believe that they had heard through the, you know, grapevine, people talking around stuff, that Jesus was able to heal what their friend had. I believe that they had heard, they just in conversations and stuff, and they said, hey, you know, this man named Jesus was way over here, and hundreds and thousands have come to him, and some of them even had palsy. Hey, ain't that what your friend had was palsy? And you know what Jesus did? Jesus healed them. And these friends said, boy, if we could ever get our friend to Jesus,
Amen.
I believe he'd heal him.
Amen.
I believe he'd heal him.
Amen.
Well, now these true friends, you see, they didn't just sit around and go to your friend and say, hey, we're going to be praying for you. Now, hey, praying for somebody's good.
Yes.
Yeah. Praying for somebody's wonderful. But sometimes we need to put feet for our prayers.
Right.
We need to put action to our prayers.
Amen. Amen. Right.
And these four here, they were true friends because they put feet to their prayers. They said, hey, we heard that Jesus is coming nearby. We're going to load you up and we're going to bring you to Jesus.
Amen.
You see, sometimes being a true friend, see, it involves compassion.
Right.
Yeah.
And it involves work.
Amen. Right.
Amen.
got some lazy people in this world.
Oh, yeah.
And don't want to work. And that goes right along into working at our friendships.
Yeah. Right.
Working to be a good friend. There's work involved in being a true friend. And so there's work in being a friend. There's compassion being a friend. And listen, maybe these four here, you think they had other things they probably needed to do. Maybe wanted to do. Had other things, you know, that they needed to go do. But they were true friends.
Yeah.
And they weren't selfish with their time.
Right.
They weren't selfish. They didn't say, well, we know Jesus is coming by. We'd love to take you, but we got something else we got to do.
Yeah.
So they didn't say that. Jesus is coming by. We're going to take you. There was work. There was compassion. And they were not selfish.
Amen.
And you know, a true friend is honest.
Yeah.
Isn't a true friend honest?
Amen.
See, being a true friend involves maybe telling somebody what they don't want to hear, but it's the truth, and they need to hear it.
Amen.
I wonder if this one's sick of the palsy. We don't know. We don't know the events that happened here, but I wonder if the one sick of the palsy, maybe just like a lot of people who are sick today, a lot of people who are sick today and have issues today, they'll say, well, I'm not that bad. I'm not that bad. I know I'm sick and stuff, but I'm not that bad. And I'll be all right and stuff. But listen, maybe these true friends come to him and say, no, listen, you about to die. You got big problems and stuff. And you're really sick. And we got to take you to Jesus.
Amen.
We got to get you to Jesus.
Right.
And that's just like we talk to people today. Well, and they say, well, I'm all right. You know, I'll be okay. You know, me and the Lord, we got our own thing. But a true friend.
Amen.
A true friend is concerned enough about them and to talk to them and say, no, listen, you're not okay. You're not okay. You need to get right with the Lord.
Amen.
You got a sickness unto death, and you need to get that taken care of. Because I care enough about you, and I don't want you to die and go to hell, but I want you to go to heaven, so I love you enough, and I care about you enough, and I'm a friend enough that I'm going to talk to you about it.
Amen.
Now we don't know what happened, what transpired here, but maybe they had to even talk the one that was sick of the palsy into, you know, let us take you to Jesus. But there was four, and so being a true friend, it's easier said than done. There's work involved in being a true friend. I found it interesting that the first mention of the word friend in the Bible is in Genesis 26:26. And that's where Joseph's brothers are there. And Joseph's brother, they said, hey, we're going to send, our father has died, we're going to send a messenger to Joseph saying, look, your father has died, but his basically his last request is that you'd forgive us. That you would forgive what we have done to you, and how we had, you know, sold you into slavery, how that we had put you in a pit to die. But basically, just forgive. Well, that's one of the first mentions there, and it was a fearful trip. Had to have been a fearful trip there, them going with Isaac, or going to Isaac. But in Proverbs 18:24, the Bible says, "A man that hath friends." Let's show himself friend.
Right.
Amen.
Amen.
If you're going to have friends, then you need to show yourself friendly to others. And the Bible says, and there is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother.
Amen.
Amen.
And I believe that's the Lord.
Yeah.
The Lord, I mean, he's what a friend we have in Jesus.
Amen.
You know, there's all sorts of songs that we sing.
Amen.
About what a friend we have in Jesus.
Yeah.
And my, what a friend that he is. One of the first mentions there in the New Testament is about Jesus. It said, he is a friend to sinners.
Yes.
Amen.
Glad he's a friend to me.
Amen.
You know, I thought about how good of a friend Jesus is to me. And I took that word friend and I just kind of turned it up on its side, you know, F-R-I-E-N-D. Just that word friend. And I thought about it. And I thought about how good that the Lord has been to me and how he is my friend. You take that word friend and you start with F there, you know, I know that the Lord is my friend.
Yeah.
because he forgave me.
Amen.
Because he forgave me.
Amen.
And I know the Lord is my friend because he redeemed me.
Yep.
He redeemed me, not with crumpled things such as silver and gold,
right,
but by the precious blood of Jesus.
Amen.
He purchased me. He redeemed me. You take that letter I, and it can represent different things. I know that the Lord is my friend because he invited me. He gave me an invitation to come to him. It's because of him I was able to get saved. He invited me to come.
Amen.
He invited me. He makes intercession for me today. Whenever I pray, he is my intercessor. He's my friend.
Right.
He is my friend. He invited me. He's my intercessor. And then the E, he encourages me.
Yeah.
You know, a true friend, a good friend, will encourage me.
Amen.
Not discourage, not beat us down, not drive us into the dirt, but a good friend. Will encourage.
Amen.
I'm glad the Lord encourages me.
Amen.
I'm glad in the times when I've been down, times I didn't know what to do, times I felt like the world was just coming in,
and
just encouraged me.
Yeah.
It says, son, it'll be okay.
Yeah.
It'll be all right. I'm glad that the Lord can encourage
me.
And then in, he nurtures me.
Yeah, it does, brother.
The Lord nurtures me. He helps me grow, Brother Jack. I'm one of his sons, and he makes sure that I get fed, and he makes sure that it helps me to grow. He nurtures me.
That's right.
And then lastly, I know that the Lord is my friend because he delivered me.
Right.
He delivered me. Listen, I was headed to that awful place of torment where there's fire forever, where there's gnashing of teeth forever. I was headed to hell, but the Lord delivered me.
Amen.
He delivered me and he set my feet upon a solid rock. He delivered me from my sins. And one of these days, he's going to deliver me to another home.
Amen.
Where I can live with him forever.
Hallelujah.
The Lord is my friend.
Right.
He's my friend.
Amen, brother.
You know, something tonight that's easier said than done is being a true friend.
That's right. Amen.
It's something that takes work. It's something that takes compassion. Caring about somebody.
Amen.
A true friend. Well, let's look on and look at the next thing here. So he was born of four, his friends. And when they could not come nigh unto the press come nigh unto him for the press, they uncovered the roof where he was, and when they had broken it up, they let down the bed wherein the sick of the palsy lay. I see the next thing here that's easier said than done, and that's staying focused. Staying focused. You know, this world is full of distractions.
Right.
You see, these four here, they had one goal in mind, and that's we got to get our friend to Jesus.
Amen.
We got to get our friend to Jesus.
Right.
And so what if these four, what if they had just come up to the house there, come up to the doors, and they saw it all full, and they saw the crowd, and they looked down at their friend and said, well, I'm sorry, friend, we can't get you to Jesus. We brought you this far, but it's full. What if they just thrown up their hands and just give up and said, well, we can't get you there? But they did.
Amen.
They stayed focused.
Amen.
They were determined. They stayed focused and they were determined that they were going to get their friend to Jesus.
Amen.
So one of them, I'm sure, had the idea, you know, probably thought, well, hey, there's a ladder right here. There's a thing right here. We can just, let's climb up on the roof and stuff. And we'll just let him down. But they stayed focused.
Amen.
And the reason why that I think that it's so hard these days to not get distracted is because the devil has so many things out there to distract us.
Right.
Right.
You know, I can't remember if I preached it here or not. I think that I did, but I preached a message called Satan's Weapons of Mass Destruction. You know, the devil's got weapons too.
Oh yeah.
You know, we have God. We have all this. You know, we're fighting a spiritual warfare and not carnal, and the devil has weapons too.
Oh yeah.
That he uses. And they're weapons of mass destruction that he uses. He's got this whole arsenal of weapons. Some of them that you can think of is he has doubt, depression, discouragement. He has a delay. He uses delay a lot. Hey, just delay it. Just put it off. Right. You can do it later. You can get saved tomorrow. Just put it off and stuff. And then he also uses dilution, where he'll take just a little bit of poison and put it in with truth and stuff, so that you don't know that it's in there. And he uses deception and deceit. The Lord has all sorts of weapons, but I believe. In the time that we're living in, it just seems to me like the greatest weapon that he's using against the children of God and against the lost as well is distraction.
Right.
Just get their minds off of things and distract it into doing other things. Even people in the church, the devil will distract into just doing some little menial something or something. Yeah. Just as long as they're not winning souls to the Lord, they're getting distracted.
Right.
They're getting distracted. And I'm glad that these four here, I'm glad that they were determined.
Yeah.
And I'm glad that they stayed focused.
Amen.
Yeah.
And I'm glad that their end result was that they got their friend to Jesus.
Amen.
I'm glad that they made it, that they got him there, they got him there safely. But we need to stay focused. I'll give you an example here. Over in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 10, we got someone here that got distracted. It says, "For Demas has forsaken me, having loved this present world." You see, Demas was with them and were working, was doing things for them, but he got distracted and he started loving the present world and he left and he wasn't a benefit at that time.
Right.
Got distracted. And there's many people in the church that'll happen to. We'll just, if we're not careful. Now I'm really wanting to preach this point here because this is something that really if me personally, if I'm not careful, if I'm not on guard, then these distractions will come up in my life, and if I'm not careful, I'll get distracted.
Amen, Brother Nathan.
Right. Yeah.
Brother Rick this morning said that about watching the news and everything. He said if we wouldn't care if we get addicted to it and stuff like that. I'm the same way. I'm the same way with that stuff. I thought my wife was going to stand up and say preach it or She asked me when we got in the car. She said, "Well, did you hear what Brother Rick preached?" I said, "Yeah, I heard. I know." But anyway, we get distracted. Very easily. The Bible tells us in 1 Corinthians 15:58. It says, "Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord." So we're not supposed to get distracted.
Right.
We're supposed to be steadfast. We're supposed to be unmovable. We're supposed to be always abounding. But the devil doesn't want us to do that.
Right.
So he throws in all these distractions. Just getting off on a tangent. Doing something that the Lord didn't want us to be doing. Starting something that he didn't want us to start. And we get distracted. And then we don't have time to do what the Lord wants us to do.
Right.
So these things are easier said than done. Being a true friend is easier said than done. And staying focused, not getting distracted, it's easier said than done sometimes.
Right.
The next thing here, we're going on now. It says, when Jesus saw their faith,
amen,
he said unto the sick of palsy, "Son, thy sins be forgiven thee." Now, this verse actually has the last two points of this message in. The Bible says, when Jesus saw their faith.
Amen.
Do you know that having faith is sometimes easier said than done?
Mm-hmm.
It is. In Mark 11:22, Jesus speaking here, he says, "Have faith in God." Have faith in God.
Amen.
And we remember that whenever Peter was asked the Lord, he was in the boat. Peter had enough faith to say, "Lord, bid me to come out to you." And so Peter had enough faith to step out of the boat and get it, walk on the water. He had enough faith to do that. But when he got out there and he started looking around about how bad things were, about the waves and the storms and stuff, whenever he got to looking at all that, then he started losing faith.
Amen.
And isn't that just like you and I? I mean, listen, when things are going great and we've got our eyes upon the Lord and things are kind of smooth sailing and stuff, we can talk about having faith all day long, about how good a faith we have. But let the trials come. And let the troubles come. It'll be easier said than done. It'll be easier said than done. You know, the disciples were even corrected many times by Jesus.
Yeah.
I mean, he said, "Oh, ye of little faith." Right. He said, "Where is your faith?"
Yeah.
Right. And then he said, "Why is it that you have no faith?"
Right.
I mean, they were tested, and they were right there with Jesus. They saw the miracles. They saw what he could do. They saw him heal people. They saw him bring people back to life, and they're there with him. And yet they had little faith.
That's right.
Right.
So it's definitely something that you and I will struggle with.
Amen.
But I tell you what will help us. The Bible tells us what'll do it. It says faith comes by hearing.
That's right.
Yeah.
And hearing by the word of God. So we need to stay in the Word of God.
Amen.
The Word of God is what will give us the faith that we need. And you know that faith is like a muscle. And we need to exercise our faith. I mean, let me show you how you exercise your faith. You know, it's not by jumping jacks or anything like that. It's just simply by taking steps. The Bible says we walk in faith. By faith is how we're supposed to walk. So let me give you an example here by, you know, walking by faith. We've got this little problem, maybe just a little trouble, little problem or something in front of us here, and we don't know all the details about it. See, faith is not seeing. It's just believing.
Right.
So it's something, you know, kind of minor. It's just something out in front of us here, but we're going to have to take a little step of faith. We're going to have to trust in God.
Yes.
And so I'm going to exercise my faith, and I'm going to say, "Lord, I'm just going to trust in you. And I'm just going to take a step of faith."
Amen.
And whenever you take that step of faith, then you realize that, well, the Lord took care of it.
Hey.
The Lord did what He said He was going to do, and He took care of it.
Amen.
And then you got another little trouble, a trial that comes up and stuff. You say, "Well, Lord, you helped me with this. I stepped out on faith and I trusted you with this, so I'm going to trust you again with something else." And you take another step of faith. You're exercising your faith.
That's right.
But then something a little bigger comes up. Something more challenging, something a little bigger. "Well, Lord, you helped me back here. I took these steps of faith and stuff, and I got no reason to doubt that you won't help me, but this is something bigger, Lord." It's a bigger step of faith. You see, we're exercising our faith.
Amen.
And so then you say, "Well, Lord, I'm gonna trust you. I'm gonna do it. I'm gonna take this step of faith." And so it's a big step. But you take it.
Right.
And then you realize the Lord was right. The Lord helped me. The Lord promised that He wouldn't never leave me or forsake me.
Amen.
That He was my present help in the time of trouble. And He helped me.
Amen.
And you exercise your faith.
Amen.
And whenever we can do that, whenever we can learn to trust in God and we can take Him at His Word and we can lean upon His promises that He gives us in the Word of God, then before long, we can take those leaps of faith.
Amen.
We can take those big leaps because we know that God's going to be there.
Right.
That God's going to help us. But we just need to get in the Word of God and we need to look at how He's helped others through those same troubles and those same trials. We can exercise and show our faith. And when we show our faith and others see us showing our faith, then they say, "Well, I want what they got.
Amen.
I want what they have."
Amen.
But having faith is something that's easier said than done.
That's right.
Let's look at the last thing here. Again, it's in verse 5. Now the Lord says, "Son, thy sins be forgiven thee." It's not hard for the Lord to forgive. It's hard for you and I to get to the place sometimes where He can forgive us. But it is not a hard thing for the Lord to forgive.
Amen.
The Bible says, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins.
Amen.
So there's no fault, no problem on the Lord's side. It's just on our side.
Right.
But how about us when it comes to forgiving others?
Yeah.
Amen.
Sometimes it's easier said than done, isn't it?
Amen.
You see, when it's easy to forgive others when maybe it's just something little, something that doesn't amount to much and stuff, and they say, well, you know, forgive me. And say, well, you know, that's fine. I forgive you. But what about when it's something big? What about when they do something that really hurts? You know, Peter said in the book of Matthew, says, then came Peter to him and said, Lord, how oft shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? How many times can my brother sin against me and I forgive him? And he says, till seven times? That's what Peter said. Peter said, till seven times? And I think whenever he told the Lord seven times, he was thinking, well, I know the Lord uses seven. I know the seven's a good number. And it seems to me to be pretty high. You know, if I forgive somebody seven times, Brother Jack, you know, as he did, somebody did me wrong seven times, I'm going to do the good godly thing and I'm going to go above and beyond. And I'll do that seven times. And then the Lord said, Jesus said unto him, I say not unto thee seven times. The Lord said, no, wait. I didn't say seven times. You said seven times, but I didn't say seven times. The Lord said, I say not unto thee seven times, but until 70 times seven.
Yeah.
You see, it's a big difference between seven and 490 times. You see, that shows the heart of God and the love of God. See, man will say, well, listen, if you do me wrong, we might make it till seven times, maybe. But Jesus said, no, I didn't say seven times. I said 490 times. 70 times seven. That's how many. Can you just imagine Peter looking at the Lord and saying, well, Lord, that's easier said than done.
Right.
You see him saying that? And Peter probably said, and listen, I'm going to kind of wrap up a little bit with this thought, but I'm sure that Peter thought, well, Lord, there's no way I can do that except you help me.
Right.
Amen.
Amen.
That's
right.
And listen, there's no way that you and I can be a true friend.
That's right.
Right.
There's no way that you and I can stay focused in this world.
Without the help of
there's
the
no way that you and I can have the faith that we need, and there's no way you and I can forgive like we ought to forgive without the Lord's help.
Right.
Amen.
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 Good preaching, brother.
Cannot do it.
Good
Amen.
Preaching. Good.
Cannot do it.
Amen, wouldn't they?
But you know, the Lord, He didn't struggle with any of these. The Lord never struggled with any of these, did He?
No.
The Lord's always been a true friend.
Amen.
Amen.
He's always stayed focused. The Bible says that He set His face as a flint.
Right.
When He was going to Calvary, He had Calvary in his mind, and he set His face like a flint.
Right.
He was focused. He was laser focused going to the cross. He knew what He had to do.
Amen.
The Lord didn't have any problem with faith. The Lord said, not my will, but thine will. He trusted in His Father.
Yes. Amen.
He trusted.
Right.
He had faith in his Father. He said, Father, I'm going to leave it up to You. I got full faith and full confidence in You. And the Lord sure didn't have a problem with forgiveness.
And the cross.
He was hanging on the cross there and He said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do.
Amen.
Didn't have any problem with that. But you know, you and I, we struggle with these things,
oh, yeah.
I think. I think each and every one of these, to some extent, we all might struggle with.
Right.
And we need the Lord's help.
That's right.
Amen.
We have to have the Lord's help in these areas, in all areas of our life. But in these areas, we need the Lord's help. You know, I mentioned that this wasn't a parable. This is a real thing, and I'm really looking forward to seeing these four friends and that one sick of the palsy, and saying, "Hey, you know, tell me about what happened. You know, who had the idea to get up on the roof? You know, who did this and who said that? You know, you have to think about the Lord being there. We know the Lord knows all things."
Right? And Lord knew that that day, something was that was going to happen. And can you imagine the Lord being there in that house, in that room full of people, and we know that the Lord loves sinners, and we know that Jesus came to save that which was lost.
Yeah.
And we know that the Lord, that was His pleasure, that's why He came. And we know that the Lord was standing there, and He knew that in the next few moments that the room was going to open up and that someone was going to let out. Can you just picture the Lord standing there and maybe just kind of smiling on His face? Yeah. And just kind of the thought, boys, y'all don't even know what's about to happen. And you ain't never seen nothing like this before. But it's about to happen.
Amen.
This room's about to open. There's going to be four friends let down their friend. And little did those four friends know that they were letting their friend down to the best friend that man would ever have in his life.
Amen.
You just see a smile on the Lord's face. Just looking out. Y'all ain't seen nothing yet. Something about to happen y'all ain't never seen before.
Amen.
But until that day, until we're up there in heaven and we can find out all about this and ask, you know, what all happened and stuff like that. Until that day comes, we need His help.
That's right.
We need His help in these areas of our lives. That's easier said than done. Father, I thank You so much for this message tonight. I thank You for the people that's here. Lord, I pray that You'd please help us, Lord, in these areas. Help us to be really good friends, true friends,
yes,
Lord.
Yes.
Help us to stay focused on those things that You've asked us to do, Lord.
Yes.
Help us to just be so dedicated and so determined and so focused in the work that You have us to do, Lord.
Yes.
Lord, please help us with our faith. Lord, just help us to develop our faith, to grow our faith, to exercise our faith.
Yes.
Just help us with that, Lord. And Father, please help us to forgive others. The Bible says that we ought to forgive others because You forgave us.
Yeah.
Lord, that's the whole reason why that we ought to just be able to forgive others is because, Lord, You forgave us. Help us, Lord, to be able to do that, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Amen. Let us stand tonight. You need to come to the altar. It's always open. Lord.
Amen.
I'm fine, Lord.
Can't be done.
No. Word upon anyone's heart tonight.
I'd like to thank the Lord for saving me, Brother Nathan. I find no fault in him. I tell you what, if there was ever a fault, the only fault he'd have is just the fact he loves sinners and got nothing in return for it. I believe he deserves our best songs. I believe he deserves the reward of his suffering.
Amen.
I believe we're to set the standard high as we can set it and keep it there. Appreciate the preaching, man.
Amen.
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 I just want to thank the Lord for saving me. And I want to thank you for hearing and answering prayers.
Amen, Sister
Dean. We are tonight just ask that you all continue to pray for Jessica, Drake, and JT. And you know, you take two steps forward and six back.
Yeah.
Last night was a really, really bad night. JT knows that Donna's real sick, and the other day he asked me if she was going to die. I said, you know, JT, the Lord has got an appointed time for us all to die, you know, before we was ever born. He knows exactly when we're going to die.
Amen, Sister.
Drake, I'm talking about Drake, and if I called him JT, I meant Drake. And Drake's been having a hard time in school, and he, getting a little bully there. The boy got him down on the playground the other day, and he then last night, after all this was going on, he said, "Granddaddy, you know the other day when you told me that God's got time for us all to die?" I said, "Yes, honey." And he said, "Well, what if we wanted to die before that time? You think he changed that time for us?" And I said, "Drake, honey, it's going to be okay."
Amen.
And I said, "You just got to depend on God." And I said, "Everything's going to be okay." I said, "Granddad is telling you it's going to be okay. But I'm going to tell y'all, sometimes Granddad don't know. But I got to keep telling him it's going to be okay." I need your all's prayer that I can stay strong for this little fella. And for Jessica, too. But I'm still telling you all that my son is going to come home.
Bless him.
I know he's going to come home. I believe that with all my heart. I don't know what it's going to take. I don't know if this is going on with Drake. It's one of the things it's going to take.
Bless him.
Appreciate this message tonight.
Amen.
Amen. Do remember that request.
Amen. You know, brother, there are many young ones that left this world because we didn't pay heed to the warning. What they're saying is they need help. And it's up to us to do that.
Amen. Remember that request
tonight. Amen.
Amen. Amen. We're very glad too. Yeah, we are really glad. Amen. Amen. Anybody else tonight? Sister Mary. Anybody else tonight?
I would like to thank Jesus so much for sending this Christian to me.
Yep.
She took me by the hand brought me back to the Lord, to this church. She's the best example I've ever seen, and she deserves the extra blessings the Lord agrees.
Amen.
I love her so much.
Yes. Thank you.
A true friend.
Amen.
Exactly. Thank you. All right, anybody else tonight? Anybody else at all? Yes.
I just like to thank the Lord for giving me the opportunity to be able to come out.
We tickled you here.
This morning.
Amen, Sister Maxine.
Yes, amen. We're going to tickle you. Yes, amen.
Bless the Lord.
I'm going to walk out and walk. Stay with us and try to figure out what I want to
do.
Amen.
Amen.
I sure thank you.
Yeah, amen. We miss you when you're not able to be here. We miss you. Amen. All right. Anybody else? Word upon anyone? This is hard. All right. Well, just turn around, shake somebody's hand. Ready to go. Have a good week.
Okay.